This episode of the Android Central podcast is brought to you by Canary. It's a new approach to home security. Canary is a complete home security system packed into a single device. Unlike old systems, Canary is built to learn. Whenever it detects something out of the ordinary in your home, Canary sends alerts with HD video and audio straight to your phone. That way you can keep an eye on your kids or your pets when you're stuck at work, find out the oven was left on before it's too late, or it can even stop burglars with a swipe of your finger. Pick up your Canary today when you visit meetcanary.com/AC. Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 247 for Friday, July 31st, 2015. It is the last friggin' day of July. August is upon us. How did this happen again this year?
Again. No, this is the only July this year. We haven't had a second July.
If only I knew this was coming. I don't know. Welcome to the show. I'm Phil. Run Android Central with these guys down here. Well, if you're watching the video, you can't see them. I got it on the big camera thing. So, Russell, Jerry, Andrew, is Alex here?
Hi, Phil.
Well, there you are. How about that? So, we have like a million and one things to talk about this week, and I've kind of got a hard stop ahead of me because as we were discussing earlier, it's camp season here where I am. So I'm kind of running all over town to see my kids at their various camp things today, which tends to happen, again, every year. I was like, I didn't know it was coming. So let's just kind of launch into it. Oh, well, real quick, if it's your first time joining us, hi, how are you? We do this every week-ish. And we got a big one this week because we have, what, two live events, a whole bunch of different kinds of news. Where do you guys want to start? You want to start with the good news or the bad news?
We have bad news?
There's bad news.
Should we get the bad stuff out of the way? Well, I mean, we were talking about it right before we went live. All this, oh my God, security stuff. And, I don't know.
Yeah, just another day that ends in Y. We've got, companies reporting security flaws that Google's already taken care of.
Android is insecure. But, Google's taking care of it. But let's back up. Jerry, what am I talking about?
Podcast camp?
No, not podcast.
Okay. We saw two security scares this week. One, everybody's using the word stage fright to describe it. It's exploit that a remote attacker could possibly do bad things to your phone by sending a improperly coded video.
And stage fright is the part of Android that actually decodes media stuff.
It's a subsystem that, yes, audio and video, it's what helps it display on your phone. It's what decodes it. It's a major thing. We don't want to ignore it. Google has patched part of it. They will be patching the rest of it in the very near future. The issue is, when will that patch trickle out to your phone? That's a legitimate concern. I mean, I don't want to downplay that part. Sure, if you had a Nexus 6, you're probably safe now. If you don't have a Nexus 6, you're like 99% of everybody else in the world who doesn't want a Nexus 6, and you're going to be waiting on an update. Let's hope that the people that make your phone and that you give your money to every month get it to you quickly.
And as the firm said that outed this thing, as far as they know, nobody's actually been affected yet. And this goes back to, what was it, 2.2 or 2.3? Android 2.2 or 2.3, I forget which. But either way, I mean, basically, you're talking, the headlines are all 950 million phones could be affected. Not one of them, to their knowledge, has been affected in 5 years.
Right.
But it's a unicorn, and it's scary. And so which is it? I mean, what am I supposed to believe?
Well, this isn't new. I mean, we've been through this for the past 15 years with Windows on your desktop. It's very popular. There are a lot of people looking at ways to break the security of it. That means that things are going to pop up. You find very few security exploits for BOS, and that's because nobody uses BOS. So the people that are trying to mess with you aren't looking into it. It's something that you need to be concerned about, but it's not something where you need to put your phone in a lead line box and hide it under your bed and say never again. Because as Phil mentioned, just because something is possible, it hasn't ever happened yet. And there may be technical reasons why it's so difficult, it never will happen. We'll know more when these researchers talk about what's going on exactly at the Black Hat Conference.
Does that happen before or after the party? Because the first mention I found from them was like, hey, we're throwing a party at Black Hat. Everybody should come, and we're going to talk about this huge vulnerability. It's going to be great Sunday. And, I mean, that pisses me off. Like, if you're trying to get me to take this seriously and believe it's a thing that we truly need to be worried about, you don't do it in a Raging Kegger announcement. Or do you?
The important thing to keep in mind there is that the people that they wanted to talk about this, I think the company wasn't so much interested in getting the media's attention at that point. They were interested in getting people who were going to Black Hat to come to their party and to come to their talk. And it's a mode that a lot of people who are at Black Hat or going to Black Hat or speaking at Black Hat are currently in right now, where it's more selling this vulnerability that they have to talk about so that people come to their thing and listen to their thing and then go to their party. And it's weird that they didn't do some kind of media presser beforehand if they wanted it to be something that was so widely talked about. But we, as people who talk about things and write about things, weren't their target audience with that, I don't think, initially.
And it was weird because that first announcement, when I found it, I think it was dated like the 21st, and all these stories, and it looked like they started pinging media sites, and I forget, I think NPR was one, Forbes, and I could swear I saw another, and it looked like they sent it out maybe under embargo, because you saw everybody else drop it at like 6 a.m. the same day, and it's just weird. Like, if it's that big a deal in this magical, mythical unicorn of a bad thing, and those were kind of their words, they called it a unicorn, you know, nobody cared when they first mentioned it in this party invite, and then the media picked it up and does what the media tends to do with this sort of stuff. And that's why I get upset about it. It's not that I don't take the security stuff seriously, but it's so blown out of proportion and not put in context.
And that's something we see with every single Android security vulnerability, isn't it? It's so hard to tell which ones you should be worried about because every single one generally is so overblown. So it's a case of crying wolf, basically. You don't know which ones you should worry about because generally everything is so overblown. Everything is this one security bug that's going to affect hundreds of millions of phones. With StageRide, it looks like actually it has the potential to affect quite a large number of phones and it is quite a nasty vulnerability. But when you have most of the media, especially the mainstream media, playing up every single vulnerability in Android in this way, it's difficult to sort things, just, you know, what you should believe.
It's crying wolf, right?
Yeah.
If you put malware or security in the same headline with the word Android, you get clicks.
And it's the same way if it was iOS too. I have no doubt about that. I just totally forgot what I was going to ask. One of the things we haven't talked about yet is a system update, which is what some of this is going to require, right? That's just one way of fighting this sort of thing. Google's Adrian Ludwig, who Russell did that really good Q&A with earlier this year, you know, came out and explained that yet again. Look, the system update there, and we talked about this, I think, last week or the week before. Maintenance releases are difficult. They are not easy to do. And as Ludwig said, it's a last resort. Like, that's the last thing you want to have to do to try to fix something because it's the hardest.
Especially because the way Android is distributed, right?
Right.
The advantage of being able to fix stuff through Google Play services, which is generally how these vulnerabilities are dealt with. For example, in the way that apps are scanned before being installed, or to begin with just preventing apps that use vulnerabilities from ending up on the Play Store. That is the first line of defense, or first or second line of defense. When it gets right down to having to actually fix something in the core OS, which is what this is, that is much more serious and requires a lot more work and it's a lot more time. And that means time there for the bad guys to exploit this in the wild, potentially.
Yes, Jerry.
Maybe this needs an update to the core OS. It's still yet to be known what or how this can break out of the sandbox, if it even can. Sandbox means certain parts of your phone's operating system, they're sandbox. They can only do things that affect themselves and can't touch anything else. If you just look through the Android code, the folders and libraries that should be affected by this, and again, we don't have all the details until after their speech, have permissions that should not be allowed to affect any other area of the phone. If they haven't found a way to break out of that sandbox, this is one of those exploits that in theory is bad, but in practicality, it can't do anything. That's what I'm waiting to hear. I need to know exactly what it can do. Right now, I'm paying attention. I shut off auto-downloading videos through Hangouts, which doesn't fix everything, but it's a good first step. I'm not freaking out. I'm not freaking out at all, because what I see tells me that on the phone I have here in front of me that I'm using, the permissions are such that this shouldn't be able to affect anything, even if I get hit. But again, I'm waiting till I hear more before I give this a Jerry Thredometer from 0 to 10. Right now I'm at 3 or 4 because I want to pay attention. I don't know how bad it can be.
And again, that's something we haven't really seen from a lot of the reporting of this over the past right. week. No one mentions sandboxes. No one mentions
exactly
any of this other stuff.
And there's another security thing that came from Trend Micro. I don't want to brush away a malformed video file can crash the audio subsystem on your phone if you try to play it. This one concerns me not because it's dangerous, because if you get affected, you fix it by rebooting your phone and not trying to play that video again. But it bothers me just because there's a buffer overrun in a subsystem that should not have any, that should have been checked. This one irks me a little bit, but it's not – I don't want to use the word not dangerous, but I'm going to say it's not dangerous.
So I'm not worried.
And I don't think anybody should be worried just yet, but do pay attention, and we're going to tell you how worried you should be after everybody tells us exactly what's going on.
And something that hasn't been covered is we still don't know all the information yet. It's being reported as if this is a known quantity when really it isn't.
Constant vigilance, Alex.
Yeah.
Or something. That was the bad news. Did I have any other bad news this week? I think that was it. Should we get to the fun stuff?
Do it.
Yeah. All right. Who should we start with? Let's start with Andrew and Russell, because they had the first event of the week.
Chronologically.
That's the only way I can remember things, actually. So where were you guys? What did you do? Where have you been?
We were in San Francisco getting a little up close and personal with the OnePlus 2. I know.
Did it kill any flagships while you were out there?
No, all the flagships in my bag didn't like spontaneously combust as soon as I walked in the presence of 30 OnePlus 2s. But we did have 2 hours or so just to kind of use them and get acquainted with them, which is really cool. They had all the different colors lined up or the different style swap covers and whatever, and we got to play with all the accessories and put them side by side with all these other phones. They weren't tethered down or anything, which is really nice. So we got a really good experience. You know, a lot of the times we use some of these phones and they're chained down to a table and we can touch them for 15 minutes or something, which is really good, because I think Russell and I both came away extremely impressed with the OnePlus 2 after just a couple hours with it.
But no way. The specs on it suck. You weren't impressed. You're lying. You couldn't have been impressed.
Hold on there, shortstop.
You're welcome, specs Russell.
Specs-wise, it's actually a pretty decent phone. I mean, it's not got a 1080p screen, it's not got a 2K screen. It's got a 1080p screen, so it in theory performs pretty similarly to the HTC One M9. But in my opinion, actually, is a better display than the HTC One M9. We took it outside. It's supposed to have 600 nits of brightness, so it's supposed to be brighter than most of the phones. And the only time that we saw that wasn't true was when Andrew and I took it outside in direct sunlight with the S6 Edge, and that ridiculous outdoor mode that Samsung has baked into their phones stepped it up over the OnePlus, but really only just barely.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, as far as screen brightness goes, it's really impressive. The performance as we were using it, it's unfinished software, so we can't really make any solid claims, but it's not like I had any problems with it. I didn't feel it warm up or anything when we were using it, and there was at least a couple of minutes there where Andrew and I were kind of abusing the phone that we had sitting in front of us. You know, as far as first impressions go, I didn't have any complaints.
Yeah, I thought that, I mean, the software, Oxygen OS, is... You know, it's going to be a change from anybody who has, you know, gotten used to CyanogenMod. But
What would you compare the OS to? Like, because I haven't seen it.
I would compare it to Motorola.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very similar. There's just a couple icon changes. The quick settings are a little different. They have a couple different buttons. But everything else, I mean, you're going to be super, super familiar with it if you've used a Nexus. Or, I mean, even Cyanogen's not terribly far off from a look perspective. So, and like Russell said, it was unfinished software, and like that's okay. That's part of the deal. But, you know, it wasn't like crashing and falling apart and, you know, couldn't run apps or anything. It's just they're telling us ahead of time that it's unfinished.
Camera?
You know, I only got a couple of pictures to take of the camera, and I took them side by side with the Essex Edge. And, I mean, it was outside in perfect light, you know, so you expect a camera to do pretty good in those situations. But I showed the results to Andrew, and he seemed to agree that there were areas where it's possible this camera could be better.
Yeah,
hang on. It's possible there were areas where the camera could be better.
No, it could be better than the S6.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, so the camera interface is kind of a little lackluster and plain, and we still don't know, you know, how it's going to perform in different aspects and things like that. Obviously, we just had it during the day for a limited amount of time, but it has all of the boxes checked with OIS, with a good sensor, with laser focus like the G4 has. So it's got the tools. It just needs the software and firmware to make it happen. But that's, you know, that's a good start. At least it has the things going for it. The rest of the hardware I thought is really nice. I mean, I thought that the OnePlus One was a kind of cheap feeling with that different textures of plastic and just didn't feel great. This one with the metal frame feels a lot better. The style swap covers, you know, there are a bunch of different materials and they all feel good no matter what one you put on there with the metal. And it's just, you know, it's a little heavier. Yeah, it's a 5.5-inch phone and it's made out of metal. It's going to be kind of heavy, but I greatly prefer it to the feel of the OnePlus One.
So, did you have a chance to use the fingerprint reader scanner thing?
Yeah,
I used it quite a bit.
And Russell set it up, and it was very much like the cool thing about it is that it's not a clicky button like the iPhone 6 or the GS6, but if the screen is off, phone is, you know, in standby, you can still put your thumb on the reader and it'll turn the phone on and unlock it. And I mean, Russell was just doing it back to back to back and it would just unlock every single time. So, I mean, that's one of those things where, you know, how does it work when the phone's been sitting in your pocket and it's got some lint on it or something, or your hands are a little sweaty or whatever. Those will be things that you find out over the course of using it. But I thought the setup process was good and it unlocked really quickly. I mean, it does what it says it's going to do, and it works as a capacitive home button if you want it to as well.
So you've bought one already?
Oh, wait, you can't.
We have not. We
see what I did there?
Haven't signed up for an invite either.
Oh, you didn't?
What, a million people have signed up for an invite.
It's fine, guys. I got this. I'm only number 192,000 on that list.
I'm like 30,000 or something like that. Here's my take on that whole thing, and this is me wearing my editor hat real quick. I went back and read what I wrote last Sunday again, and I was like, ooh, that was actually kind of subtle and nice. I still think the invites are kind of ridiculous. Like, let me pre-order something like a normal human being and then ship it to me when it's ready. But my thing at this point is people are excited about this phone. It hardware wise, it's not a bad phone. It's and I said that about the first one, right? Marketing wise, I think they do a lot of dumb stuff, a lot of things I wouldn't do. You know, some that I just think are annoying, some that I think are flat out wrong. But I'm not going to ignore this phone this year.
Well, and there's one piece of hardware that
I was just going to bring it up.
A lot of people are kind of upset about, and I've been thinking about it all week long, and I'm genuinely not sure where I stand on it. Is the lack of NFC, and I don't know. I've been trying really hard this week to think about situations where I use NFC that's not just showing off, like when I'm showing other people to use NFC. And I get that there are people out there that use NFC for Tasker integration and to activate smart home stuff. But the guys at OnePlus found that it was a minority and either didn't decide to pay for the licensing for it or just didn't include the hardware in the device. I think it's the former and not the latter. I think that NFC is actually there. It's just not on. But, I think people are getting really upset about something that they don't actually use being there because they're being told they can't have it.
I would be way more upset and way more confused about Quick Charge not being in there, because as much as it isn't, you don't get it for free, there are licensing things behind it. It is kind of expected. You get an 810, you know, any 800 series phone pretty much from the 801 onwards, you're going to get Quick Charge, and that's...
It's
not actually there.
That's interesting, especially considering they talked about how much they cooperated with Qualcomm on processor and battery performance and camera and things like that in the fingerprint sensor, but then they didn't decide to go with the Quick Charge, which...
Yes, Jerry.
That could be a consequence of using USB Type-C, though.
Ooh.
Hmm. No, we know that that's not the case.
So actually, yeah, that's a good point. Do we know, because USB Type-C, independent of Quick Charge using other cable types, can support transferring a pretty hefty amount of power just because it is USB Type-C, right? Well,
no, that's because it's USB 3.0.
Right, sure, which is
this USB-C port is actually not.
It's
this really weird in between thing, and that's a lot of people don't understand what's happening here. This is a USB 2.1 port. It's not a USB 3 port. It's not going to transfer data at the rates that we've seen USB-C on, like, the Chromebook Pixel 2 or the...
That's ridiculous. why would you have a new port without
so that you could say that you had it? They were there first.
But I'm not settling.
Right.
That's completely insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a USB 3 port, and that's what I think a lot of people don't understand, is that it's weird. This might as well be a proprietary port.
Never settle.
As far as that is concerned.
Settle well, not.
I mean, it's hard. I wouldn't go nearly as far to call it a proprietary port. I mean, just because you can't do data transfer at USB 3 speeds doesn't mean that the port all of a sudden
is... Look, just because it's completely different from... USB because it's totally different from what you think it is and what it should be doesn't mean it's proprietary.
Well, no, it's not proprietary at all, actually, in any way, shape, or form.
I mean, I'm sorry, if you're advertising...
If you have a USB-C to USB-C cable and you want to plug that thing into your Pixel, it'll transfer data and it'll transfer power.
This is
standard port.
This is the most confusing phone, I think, since I had one that like split in two and had two screens. And...
Well, it's only
never
confusing.
Forget the Kyocera Echo. Never forget it.
It's only confusing because people want to look too much into how it works. Whereas if they just took it out of the box and plugged it into the wall and it charges and they plug it into their computer.
So I shouldn't worry my pretty little head about it.
it's only confusing if you think about it.
Yes, exactly. No, it's called overthinking things. If you plug it into your computer, I can guarantee you're not going to notice the difference in data transfer rates to your phone from your computer between 2.0 and 3.0.
Well, no, you're fully wrong. Totally wrong.
Here's a question.
Nobody would have said a thing if they didn't look at that and say, oh my God, it's USB 2.0.
I sat at the event and moved a whole bunch of files from the phone to my laptop, and that is how I knew that it was USB 2, because I have USB 3 devices in my home and I know how fast they move data.
And so you talked about not using NFC that often. I literally cannot remember the last time I plugged in my phone to my computer to transfer files.
I think it's more a case of it comes
it
off
doesn't
as
matter.
Misleading. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. It's misleading if you have all these tweets going out about, if you make a big deal about that particular spec and you don't say with an asterisk by it, oh, by the way, it's not really USB 3, which is what
they
expect from this new standard.
They made a point that it was USB. I agree. It goes back to this whole, you're telling me that marketing was not completely genuine? Oh my gosh.
There's that, and then there's the fact that you're basically... I mean, there's a difference between not being between putting a marketing spin on something and being actively dishonest, which it comes off as if you're putting a USB Type-C connector in there and you're giving none of the benefits of that new connector. What do you have? You have might as well just be a reversible micro USB cable. There is no benefit there at all, except if you lose your cable, you've got to buy a new one from OnePlus because no one else is selling the damn things.
Well, I mean,
genius.
There are plenty of places you can buy USB-C cables too. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's not a proprietary connector on the end. You can argue that they should have made it 3.0, but when it comes down to it, Jerry could take a Pixel 2 charger and plug it into the thing and it'll charge because the port makes the same connection.
Yes, I guess you're right. I draw what I said about it being a proprietary cable. I take that back.
I want to hear what Jerry has to say about it, and then I am officially squashing any more talk about this damn cable and this damn port.
I'm just this one's for Andrew. You know the cable that you love so much? That's a USB 2.1 cable.
I know. That's my problem. I'm a terrible person for liking a nice cable that.
I take it back. I take it all back. I don't care about this phone anymore. Anything to make it stop. So,
this is just a perfect example of why the hell are we focusing on this? Like, okay, it's USB 2.1 instead of 3.0.
Because they made a big deal out. They made it an issue.
Except for the other 99.5% of the phone that's not the USB 2.1 cable.
So,
or more, like it's almost 100% of the experience has nothing to do with that.
It is, but you know what? It got about 25% of the tweets
about that other thing.
The rest of the phone.
What other thing? The claim that there was
anything
a special Snapdragon 810 and not just the same one that everybody else.
Well, we knew that was BS. It's wow. A special one that everybody else has.
The other reason why I've decided to. And I reserve the right to change my mind by the end of this podcast. Pay attention to this phone this year. It's just because of the space that it's in, because we're seeing right. All these other players, because we're seeing Asus, because we're seeing Alcatel, because we're seeing ZTE and Axon, and now Motorola, which we'll get to in a minute. It's a big deal. And so anything in that space, I think, that has any sort of traction deserves looking at.
So I think we stopped talking about the invites abruptly there.
Yes, and Carl, replaced it with something even more dumb.
Yeah, so Carl Pei said that last year they did the invites. You know, they keep saying the same thing, that they couldn't make enough or they didn't want to commit to too many. They made 10,000 in the first run last time. This
1,000.
Oh, was it 1,000?
Yeah, that's the number I saw.
So this time we are looking at 1 million requests for invites, and they said that their first run was like 40 or 50,000 units. And that's I just think that it's such a cop-out yep. to say that they're doing invites. It just means that they don't have people that are doing appropriate market research, and they're not getting a good enough feeling for the demand for their product. And that's not something they're making it sound like there are outside forces making this so they could not make enough phones, in which they really should have just been able to figure out their market and make enough phones.
I think there are a couple of things at play here. One is, yeah, they're a small company. There are market forces. They can't just go out there and buy as much stuff as an HTC or a Samsung would. The other side of it is manufacturing scarcity like this actually could be beneficial, right? Yeah. Especially if you're selling at a low cost. You have a low cost phone, you have money, you know, you only make a few of them, to the point where you know that not everyone that wants one is going to be able to buy one, at least initially. There are, you know, that's a tried and tested method of generating buzz around a product. It's a pretty simple way to do that, really. And of course, they're doing that the same as they did last year. So it's a case of that, but it's also a case of they are a small company,
There's some of that, but then when you hit the second year and you know what your sales were last year and you should have done some kind of research, they need to be somewhere closer to the middle between 40,000 and 1 million.
Why? It works. This BS marketing stuff, it works.
100% of the time they're leaving money on the table. They could have made 400,000. And they would have been under demand for this phone because that's like nowhere near what they sold last year.
I feel like it's important to bring up during that interview that I did with Pei, he mentioned, and Andrew, you were shocked about this too initially, that that the first launch was 460 days ago.
Uh-huh.
And it took me a second to realize why it was that surprised me. It's because we never stopped talking about that phone.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. None of us ever stopped talking about the OnePlus
One. Even a month ago or 2 months ago.
So tell me again why the marketing BS is wrong and bad. It's working. It's only wrong and bad to us.
Well, I'm not saying the marketing BS is wrong and bad. I'm saying you need to just have phones at the other end of it. You can still trickle them out, but you need to trickle them out on your terms, not on the terms of you just waiting for people to throw you money. I mean, that works, but at some point you have to have the... None of that is worth anything unless on the other end
see,
of it.
See, I guarantee you they're doing it on their terms. They absolutely are.
You don't make 40,000 phones when your last model sold 1.5 million.
You do if you look at the numbers and it makes sense.
No, you have to sell the other 1,460,000 of them. Mm-hmm. at some point, you have to make them and sell them.
But then you either do that and burn out quickly, or you trickle it out and have this slow wave of publicity that goes from here into well into next year.
They rode one wave onto the next one without having to paddle back out. That's exactly what they've done.
There's a difference this year, though. Right now, we're talking about the OnePlus 2. You know what I'm saying about it? Man, you got to wait for an invite. Screw that. Buy the Asus. You save $100 and get a phone just as good, if not better. Forget that company. That's what I'm talking about when I say OnePlus. Last year, you didn't have that. Last year was, well, you spend $700 on a Nexus 6 or you spend $350 on a OnePlus.
You have a lot more options in the space right now. In fact, I got to cut the OnePlus stuff short because I have a hard stop in front of me and we have more stuff in that space to talk about. You know where we're going next. So real quick, let's take a break. And when we come back, Motorola. I need a better way to say that. Motorola! Anyone else have any ideas on that?
Motorola.
Oh, nice. Nice. I can't reach over and get mine as easily as Jerry can. All right, we'll be right back. What does it mean when every commercial bank in the Fortune 500 relies on Red Hat for enterprise software? Or that every department in the executive branch of the U.S. government does too? Or what about every airline in the Fortune Global 500? Well, it means that more than 90% of all the companies in the Fortune 500 understand the values that supported enterprise open source software can bring to their business. If the value of open source is the rapid innovation, freedom, and interoperability that comes with community-powered technology, then the value of Red Hat is taking responsibility for that technology, testing it, enhancing security, and certifying that it will work in your data center. So what is Red Hat doing that is making such a big difference? Well, it's simple. It's simple, but it's not easy. They make sure that you can get all the benefits of open source without the risk of doing it all yourself. No one else can make that promise, much less keep it. So visit redhat.com to see how they can help your enterprise with application development, storage, and cloud computing. Red Hat, different for the sake of better technology. By the way, the waveform on that, I'm watching it over here, look pretty sweet. Hey, real quick, I did remember there was one more piece of bad news I wanted to bring up, and I totally meant to do this first and just forgot, but this morning, Friday morning, NVIDIA announced it was recalling not every last single Shield tablet, but a whole...
Pretty much everyone.
Pretty much all of them, yeah. If you have one, and apparently I saw the Wall Street Journal had an 88,000 number on it, and that's pretty good, actually. I mean, it's good and bad. But yeah, go update the software. Just find the post on our site or go to NVIDIA's blog, and they'll walk you through checking to see if you have a version. Apparently the battery could, you know, overheat and melt or something.
So, and real quick, bad.
Yes,
I saw some people saying, well, I don't use mine that hard and it's never got hot.
Not
so
the
I'm
point.
Not going to worry about it. No, yeah. Don't. Send it in, get your free replacement.
Yeah. They're doing everything for you. You don't have to do anything
this
crazy or jump through hoops.
Get this is like physical safety stuff. This is not, my Snapdragon 810 is too hot. This is like meltdown type stuff.
Well, this is the same thing we saw with that HP Chromebook. Yeah. And it's charger. Mine hasn't started smoking and catching on fire. Well, yeah, that doesn't mean that it can't.
Yeah.
When a company sits back and says, oh yeah, we've got bad product out there, please send it back to us so we can replace it. You don't ignore that. That's real.
Yeah. Do it.
Yeah.
Don't mess around with it. So Motorola, I'm excited anyway because I used a Moto X. I've used both Moto X's a lot. And so we now have three new phones, sort of, unless you're in the U.S. Or maybe you still have
fewer updates to older phones, and one is a new line.
We kind of have four phones, because of the names of these things. So we got the new Moto G, which is a new Moto G. It's a yearly refresh, nice phone.
That's what I'm using right now, by the way.
Yeah, me too. It's a very, very nice phone for $200.
I call this week Phil discovers that the Moto
that
G
was
good all
that
along.
That was pretty fun, and you're right. Look, I think the only reason I didn't really use last year's Moto G, did it have LTE when it launched?
It did not.
Okay,
did
that's not. That's one big reason. The other was I just didn't like the matte black. It just felt cheap to me.
It was a little fingerprinty and cheapy.
Yeah. And the LTE was the other thing. For me, that's a non-starter. Like, I can't function with that now. But yeah, I'm using this. We'll talk more about it in a second. All right, so we got the Moto G. What else do we have?
We got a Moto X. Well, two new Moto X's. The Moto X Play is the one that's going to be released in Europe, Latin America, but well, basically everywhere except the US.
With a giant battery.
Lands between the higher Moto X and the Moto G.
So the way I think about it is it's basically Motorola's answer to this new mid-range area of phones, the Alcatels, the Zenfones of the world. It's priced around that area. Snapdragon 615, it's got, I think, most, if not all, of the Moto features that you'll be familiar with from previous Xs. You've got the same sensor as the higher-end Moto X style, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but without the image signal processing stuff of the higher-end phone, but the same camera hardware there. So it's basically, I don't want to call it a cut-down Moto X, but it's the core parts of the Moto X in this 5.5-inch phone 1080p screen with a ginormous battery.
Well, good for you. I'm glad you got that, because I'm not going to see it.
You'll be getting it.
The socialist version of the Moto X.
And then we have the Moto X style, which I'm not allowed to call it that because I'm in the U.S., and in the U.S., it's
Pure
just...
Edition. Same exact phone.
Well, it's kind of the same exact phone, but the Pure Edition... The Pure Edition, I mean, since they're calling it a Pure Edition, you've got to imagine the same commitment to updates with the last Pure Edition, where they're going to... When M comes out, they're going to want to be on top of that and have that as an update pretty much straight away. You also get, like, 14 bands of LTE, which, again, makes it kind of crazy. They're only selling it in the U.S. in this Pure Edition.
B1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 12, 13, 17, 25, 26, 38, and 41 for those of you playing at home.
I don't know if you remember the last big update that we got from Motorola, but rapid updates may not be, like, the best thing ever.
So I talked to them about that. I talked to, I just totally forgot his name. Siang, I think was his name. I've got his card somewhere. Senior Vice President of Software. And we talked about that a little bit. And he's like, look, we rolled out L in 9 days, which is just kind of insane if you think about it. Especially when you get down to the fact that L wasn't quite fully baked on Google's end. And then you just slam it home and it's just like, ooh, okay. So, and he said, look, we might well take a little longer this time. Now,
That's how long they took with the 5.1 update. They took a couple months and it was great.
Yeah, and I've seen some kind of competing quotes out of him this week, and I think that has more to do with publications and questions being asked than anything. But my takeaway from that was I wouldn't be surprised to see it take a little longer when M comes out. It might take 10 days. Might take 11. I don't know. But you could tell there was this obvious kind of, you know, cringe moment with L. Some of that, you know, obviously not their fault. You deal with the code you got.
I mean, I'm trying to think of a phone that got an update to L, so to Lollipop, in 2014 that wasn't kind of a mess.
Yeah, it was just one of those.
I don't think
versions.
There was a single one.
That's what I've been saying for 6 months.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, let people with a Nexus put up with the bugs for 3 months and then start asking Samsung or HTC or Motorola, where's my update? If we had done that this year, a lot of people would be a lot happier.
So
we need it now, Jerry. We must have the updates now.
So the Moto X style, for me, the software was the easy part using it. I mean, it looks and feels like a Lollipop device at this point. If you've used a Nexus, if you've used any of the updated Motorola phones, you know what you're getting into. Same goes for the Motorola software on it. You've got some updated location stuff, so like it can now... Like, if I go to my parents' house a lot, instead of just having these home and work locations, it can be like, hey, I see you go to this place a lot. Do you want to set up some actions for it? So, like, when you go to your parents' house, you turn off the ringer, or, you know, whatever you want. And then you can also designate other locations. And I forget how many they said you could do. You've got that. You've got some new stuff in the camera and the gallery. When it's making the highlight reels, you can designate a face and say, hey, I want to see more of that person. So if I have a bunch of pictures of my wife, and family and stuff, it'll put more of her in there than, say, me, which is always a good thing. The camera will now automatically scan business cards and, you know, QR codes and barcodes and stuff. That's cool. Not the first one to do it, but really good option.
But also, why does every camera not do
that? Yeah, that was my thing.
I hate having to install a separate barcode scanner.
Yeah, so that's a big deal. But, I mean... For the most part, the software was the software. Totally know what
That's
you're getting
into.
That's
the name of Motorola's game. It's super simple, a couple of useful additions.
What about the motion stuff?
I got to play with that some more.
Those are my favorite things.
Yeah.
The double twist to activate the camera.
Oh, yeah, totally
the
there.
Double chop to activate the flash.
Yep.
And all that stuff's actually there in the G as well this time. The only thing you miss out on the G, really, is the wave over to show Moto Display or the Moto Display.
That's the only thing I'm really missing on the G, yeah.
And Moto Voice also is not there.
Yeah, I can live without the voice stuff, but I miss, and just because I know I'm using a Motorola phone, like I miss being able to wave my hand over it and see what time it is. I have to actually pick it up. But Actually, I mean, let me just gush on this for 5 minutes. This is the best $200 you can spend on Android right now. Like, just do it. Spend the extra $40, get the 2 gigabyte version of RAM and 16 storage, and it's like $220 out the door. Like, you can't beat that. I'm actually using this phone like I use this phone. I mean, G4 versus Moto G, and this one right now is faster. I don't know if that's because it's a fresh install. Could well be, but it's just, it's amazing. Like, I have a notification, you know, pull down I can use again because it doesn't have all this crap up top, and I have software that doesn't make me want to shoot myself. And
but put the brakes on for just 1 second.
Yes,
it's faster. It's also doing a whole lot less.
Right.
So don't email us, LG fans.
No. And that's why, because it's doing so much less. It doesn't, you know, it's not even about skinning. People talk about, well, it doesn't have the custom skin. I mean, well, no. I mean, like Jerry says, it's doing so much less. The camera, you know, it's okay. It's obviously not G4. It's obviously not GS6. But I have a feeling that most people will be okay with it, especially. And I'll tell you what my review is right now. It's like, here's something about this phone, $200. Here's something else about this phone. It only costs $200. Here's another thing about the phone. Did I mention it only costs $200? That's my review right there. Like,
And when we have conversations about phones where the counter argument from so many people in the comments being, you know, well, it's a decent phone for the price. This is what it means for a phone to be great for the price.
Yes.
Not the weird $450 phone where they, you know, they shaved a couple of things off and, you know, the price tag reflects that. This is what that statement should reflect.
And it's not too big. I mean, especially that was where I was going with the X Style. The X Style is big. It's just a hair smaller than the Nexus 6, which
is too big.
I don't know. I think it's a bit more than a hair shorter than Nexus 6. They've cut down the bezels a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, the height isn't too different, but the width is very different.
It feels smaller, but physically, it's not that much smaller. Like, you'll need to try them side by side before you know what I'm saying here.
Yeah,
but it feels smaller.
The other thing I want to mention just quickly, the shape actually makes a big difference. So the Nexus 6 is very rounded at the sides, yep. Makes it difficult to pick up. Same kind of issue we had with the M8 last year. This time, the sides are much more kind of angular, yep. And almost a little bit sharper in the hand. And that makes a big difference when you're using a big phone, just to be able to rip it in one hand and not have it kind of been slipping all over the place. And I think that is going to make a big difference as well.
The only question I have coming out of Motorola's event this week is with the camera. And I flat out, I don't care what they told me. I don't care how hard they say they worked at it. I don't care how much better they say it is. I want to get it out there and test it because I've heard it from them twice now. And until I actually get out and try it and use it.
You remember ClearPixel?
Yeah, I very much remember ClearPixel.
I have seen a couple photography sites that got early access to a pure edition, and I'm pretty impressed by what I've seen so far. So I can't wait till you guys actually take it out there and put it up against the S6 or the M8 or the G4 and show me what we've got.
The other thing to remember is the Play has the same sensor. So it doesn't have all the fancy image processing backing it up that the 808 gives you, but it does have that same core sensor and I think the same lens as well. So that, given if it is as good as they say it is, having that kind of quality a camera in a phone that costs really not a whole lot of money, about the same as the Zenfone 2 or the Alcatel Idol or any of these others, is potentially quite a big deal.
And the price isn't horrible. I mean, I need to do the math again. I think it's somewhere around, you know, like $500 by the time you put some custom backs on this stuff. And get the biggest storage you can. I'm trying to find it again real quick. It was like
$399 base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
so, I mean, here's a question. Is this basically at the high end? Is this basically a loss leader for them now?
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, the Moto G is their biggest seller. It's like the M9 for HTC. That's not the phone they care the most about at this point. It's a really good phone. I'm more worried about the size than anything, but I love the look of it. It really does look nice. It really does feel nice. The wood and the leather are just gorgeous again. My question is going to be, is it just too damn big for me? I don't know.
My thing is, I got rid of my Moto X 2014 when the 5.0 update came out. I couldn't deal with it. If you've got one and you went through that, you know, you understand why. It was just horrible. I couldn't keep it charged, and I'm not going to use it, so why have it set here? I sold it. That means I had to move to the Nexus, you know, 6, which is too big for me. I use it. I like everything about it, it's a good basic phone that does everything I want perfectly, but it's way too damn big. I think the Moto G may be able to replace that for me.
It's, I tell you, if all you need is a phone to be a phone, you know, and you're not playing games on it. That's the only thing I've done so far. I've been playing a lot of Vainglory, and I've been playing on the Nexus 9, so we're kind of comparing apples to oranges here, but what? Go ahead.
And that's my thing. I have a Nexus 9.
Yeah.
I play a lot of games. I play them on my Nexus 9 because it does it so well. I don't grab my phone with a much smaller screen to play Vainglory.
Yeah, I'm using this thing for, you know, phone calls and texts and Gmail and stuff, and it's a 720p display, and it's not a great display. The colors, especially because I'm stuck using the Google Calendar widget instead of my normal white transparent one because it's broken on Motorola again, and the colors just look horrible. But like for $200, it's really good. I don't think there's another phone I would recommend. Just like normal people who just need something that works and don't care about specs. This is what I'm recommending, period, right now.
That's why I have family members that have a Moto X, a Moto G, and a Moto E, depending on what their price constraints were, and they're all extremely happy with them.
I can buy three of these for four of these, really, for what I paid for this.
Yep. And it's insane. Like you said, for the basics, which is, I mean, even a little beyond the basics, everything but heavy gaming or something like that, it's gonna check all the boxes.
I would definitely argue this goes beyond the basics this year, especially with as much of the Moto features they've managed to bake into this, and the fact that you've got a camera that isn't just there because they had to put a camera in it, but it actually, it's the same sensor from the Nexus 6. Okay, no stabilization, but it works pretty well. You can take decent looking pictures with it.
Expandable storage.
Yeah.
Go back to what we said before. Moto had to. Moto invented this category of a budget smartphone that's really freaking good. But other companies, Asus, Alcatel, they've moved in, and until the new Moto G, last year's Moto G was no longer the best phone in that category. They had to step their game up, and it looks like they did a lot, and they're going to compare very favorable in the $200 to $300 range. And that makes me happy.
For Motorola, they were getting a little long in the tooth with 1 gig of RAM and no LTE, but now they've got those, and there was nothing else really wrong with the setup.
Same conversation as with the OnePlus, no NFC, which I'm fine with. The only time I ever use NFC is when I'm
gasped. How could you not care about NFC, Phil?
No NFC, and also no words that say flagship killer anywhere.
Yeah.
No fake USB-C ports on it.
Fake.
And because we're going to get a lot of people talking about it, the big concern about there not being NFC is Android Pay. Let me just go ahead and throw the gauntlet down. You guys can feel free to put this in my inbox. I was super excited about Google Wallet as a mobile payment system. Mm-hmm. I was chased down the street by a large Indian man with a tire iron in New York City because he thought that I had stolen something from his cab by trying to use Google Wallet in his taxi the day that Google was rolling it out as a test service. I love the idea of NFC payment. I will give a crap about Android Pay when it actually freaking works.
I would have paid money to have seen that.
It was so embarrassing. the receipt, the problem was that they used a fake card within the first revision of it when you paid for something. The actual card that went through the teller system was a fake card.
Right.
And so the receipt that printed out on the guy's thing on the dashboard, it was a MasterCard that ended in 4 zeros. Mm-hmm. And he was just no, you have to use a real card. And I was dude, I paid you money. He was no, you have to use a real card. And he got mad at me. I got out of the car. I was well, I paid you money. I'm going to go ahead and go now. And he really thought that I had ripped him off. He was super mad.
Nice.
It says something about New York cabbies, honestly.
I'm super excited about the Moto G. I really am. It's funny. I'm self-conscious because I'm used to carrying around a GS6 or a G4, which in the G4 just looked. I remember when I was flying home the first time with this, I was leaving it sitting out in the airplane in the console so people could see it. I was totally being that guy. And the Moto G, I don't feel like that. It's just it's this plastic phone, whatever. But damn, it's good for $200.
And as Moto Maker now, so you can have it be a little more customizable than just having those swappable covers. You have You know, you can choose a couple different colors and things like that. And like you said, importantly, you can choose storage and RAM as well.
I can't believe I just said I was that guy, but I am kind of that guy a little bit.
Yes, you should have unbuttoned one more button to being that guy.
And swirl some brandy or something.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. All right. We're going to have lots more on Motorola coming up. We got so much stuff coming up. Samsung announced an event, what, the 13th?
13th in New York and London.
Man, we got so much coming up. All right, let's take one more break. When we come back, we will do some Q&A. I got 4 voicemails to go through, and we got a short amount of time to get there.
The Q&A lightning round.
Eastbound and Down. Be right back. So let's talk about Canary. It's an amazing new home security device. I've got one. I've been playing with it. It's pretty cool. It's actually a complete home security system packed into a single device that you control from your Android phone or tablet. It's just about 6 inches tall, and it sits on your bookshelf, so it's perfect for any house or apartment. It has no extra components except for one tiny little cord that you have to plug in when you're setting it up, but that's it. All you do is connect it to the internet, and it just works. So what does it do? Well, you get live streaming video of what's happening in your home anytime, anywhere. Whenever Canary detects something unusual, you'll get alerts with high-definition video and audio right there on your phone or tablet. So it's packed with features like 1080p high-quality video. It's got a high-quality microphone. It's got motion detection. And my favorite part, it's got a 90-plus decibel siren. So if you do see something going on, if somebody were to happen to break in, you fire that thing up, and they're going to have no idea it's coming. And don't do it to your dog. Just don't. Trust me. It also has automatic night vision, so you can see perfectly in total darkness. It has sensors for temperature, humidity, and air quality, and this is all packed into one device, people. Folks are using Canary around the country to catch burglars or to check in on their family or pets and not to scare them with that siren. But mostly they're using it to feel safe while they're away. So you can be one of the first to get smart home security. Buy your Canary now when you visit meetcanary.com/AC. You're going to do what they say can't get done.
I love that song.
God, it's such a good song. Keep going. Pick it up. Let's go.
I don't sing.
Oh. All right, we're going to do some Q&A first.
Do it.
I'm going to fly through these. Christopher asks, just because Lenovo bought Motorola doesn't mean they bought the carrier relationships with it. Do you think the direct-to-consumer strategy may have been partially motivated by carriers wanting to get to know Lenovo better before jumping in with them? That is a very good question and something we didn't actually talk about at all. You can't buy... The new Motorola stuff, you can't buy it through the carriers yet.
I think it has more to do with Motorola wanting to break up with them than not getting those deals. I mean,
yeah,
they definitely kept the deals when they bought Motorola.
I want to think it's because I spent 6 months crying about the original Moto X, saying, Motorola, please don't do this anymore, and they listened.
I found it funny that, like, how long have we been saying this is the right way to do it? This is the right way to do it. And now they're doing it, and everyone's like, well, wait a minute. And I get that some people have to buy through carriers. What?
You're telling me I can't go into Verizon and buy it? This is not. Yes, it is what you asked for.
Yeah. So, I mean, so be it at this point.
And look, Verizon's going to have its own version of this or something a lot like it, probably.
They'll get a droid, I'm sure.
Yeah. And watch it be, it'll be like the Turo or something like that.
Droid X.
The droid terrible.
Oh, stop. Another thing we didn't talk about, Motorola's excuse for not giving the Moto G active display was that it required AMOLED to work properly. Now that the X uses LCD just like the G, what's the reason for not spreading the love? I mean, it does have active display. It just doesn't have the sensors.
He's talking about the previous versions.
Oh, the previous versions.
It could be to do with the quality of the display.
Yeah.
And the fact that if you just have a black screen on a low quality LCD, it is very obvious that it just comes out of this kind of gray, whereas I think the screen on this is the third gen is a little bit better, so you can kind of get away with it unless you're in a very dark room.
Yeah. And again, it's not a great display, but...
I have a gut feeling they had to go to LCD.
Why?
For fingerprint scanning. Ooh. Don't hold me to it. But there is technology that uses the digitizer the same way that OnePlus, for example, uses a capacitive button to scan your fingerprint, and you need a certain type of LCD TFT display to use that.
You mean you think it's like dormant in these versions, or do you think they're just starting to ramp up for the next version?
I think the hardware is in place. If software can be created to use it, they want to be able to leverage that.
Okay. If they use AMOLED, they always have to go through Samsung, right? They're always limited to whatever Samsung wants to sell them.
Basically. Or LG.
Well, not so much LG. LG's OLED stuff is not really up there with Samsung's yet. But if they're in the position every year when they're relying on a competitor to sell them a display, which inevitably is not going to be anywhere near as good as what they use themselves, then maybe it makes sense to transition to an IPS LCD like they're using in the style, where the blacks are not AMOLED black, but pretty dark enough to be able to get away with having Moto Display on there.
Moving on, do you guys see multi-window support being built in the final Android M release? Do you see it in the preview 2 of M? No, they took it out, didn't they, in the preview 2?
It took out a lot of the things that we kind of found that were hidden, and, I'm not going to say one way or the other.
I'm going to
whispers in both directions.
I'll say it now. I don't think it's going to be there.
I think it'll be there in N next year. I think this is probably stuff they're playing around with now. It is not going to be ready in time because it's already, if it was, it would be in the previews. It's a big thing. Yeah, if this was coming to Android, it would have to be in the developer previews to
Alex.
So let developers get to grips with it before the final release. I think it's something, if it is coming, it will be next year.
Alex, we can't say that the next version is N until it gets leaked out in 9 months. Okay? We can't deploy logic here. We just
we
don't know.
We have to wait. We can't look at our alphabet chart on the wall that we have next to us. And
no.
Okay.
That's not how this works. I mean, you've been here long enough, man. Come on.
Devin asks, with native active stylus support coming in M, are you guys surprised that there's no M tablet reference design coming? That would be the
there's
first.
There's no M tablet reference design coming?
No, M tablet. Yeah, no hardware.
I didn't get that memo. That's weird.
Yep.
I didn't see where Google said that they weren't coming out with a tablet.
Here's my question. This active stylus stuff, will that work on a Nexus 9? Or is there something specific in new hardware that would need to be there?
It would require something behind the screen to detect the active stylus. Gotcha. Wouldn't it, like, Wacom?
Gotcha.
But a lot of the stuff that was added was just better Bluetooth stylus support, too.
Right. Larry asks, any thoughts on the new Motorola, or Moto Pulse and Moto Surround? How do they compare to equally priced competitors? Let me see if I can reach it. Hang on. So here is, on my head, if you're watching the video, here's the, what is this, the Pulse? I can't hear anybody because I took these other ones out.
They look like a set of headphones.
They're okay. They're not great, but as Bluetooth things go, they're all right. The other ones, the like workout ones that wrap around your neck, they're okay. I'm not crazy about the magnetic thing holding the buds in place when you're not using them. I would get the LG Tones instead.
It just still doesn't seem very workout focused compared to, I looked at some, Blue Ant ones where all the electronics were just contained in the earbuds and all you had in the back was just a cable connecting the two. It seems a bit bulky to have this whole thing hanging over.
The LGs are definitely bulky. I did a post on them last year, I think, when we first got them. They're definitely thicker around the ends there, but the retractable earbuds to me is 100%.
They need to put the electronics in a sweatband.
It seems good for casual use or just not, doing things around the house and not having a cord there, but it doesn't seem good for like going on a jog or something and having this thing bouncing around on your neck.
Most of where you see these, and I see them everywhere around here.
I see them a ton too.
People who work in stores where they're doing like lifting boxes in the back, or people who work at train stations, like people who are doing general kind of manual labor.
No, I see people, not when you're wearing like a shirt and a tie, but like people with office jobs, I see wearing them. I mean, here in my office, people wear them.
Yeah, I mean, they are everywhere.
Everybody one. Come to my office.
Sean says, not asking a question, but saying congrats to Phil on your app winning All About Android's App Arena. You brought guests. Tied for second, I believe. Wait, so did I win or not? I'm confused.
Tied for a second overall in number of wins.
Oh.
They tally up the wins.
Oh, does that mean I won some other time and didn't realize it? I bet when Periscope came out.
Well, no, it's hosts versus guests.
Ah, wow.
You are in the fraternity of all the guests.
Wow. Well, how about that? Take that, Ron Richards. Man. Finally,
I don't think mine won when I was on, so you're carrying the torch.
Well, yeah, I usually suck. I tell you what, we're just not going to get to voicemails this week because we got some really good questions here, and I need to leave like now, but we're going to do a couple more. Sam says, Phil, stop freaking screaming into the microphone nonsense to gain a reaction. It's stupid and annoying to the listener. You're right. You are absolutely right, Sam.
I work with him every day, Sam.
You know you can't tell me that because you know exactly what I'm going to do.
As soon as I read that, I turned my volume down a little bit.
Well, I mean, honestly, the other problem is I have the audio going like 16 different ways now. I have no idea what it sounds like to those, you know, to the other guys. I have no idea what it sounds like to the people watching live on YouTube. I do know reasonably well how it's going to sound in the recorded version later. And I know how goofy I sound in general, but it's just fun.
Never change, Phil.
Relax.
Keep baby.
Relax. It's just a podcast, guys. Joel Woods knows the Moto X 2015, the flagship killer. Killer.
I can't. I'm going to work this weekend on a word to use other than flagship. I'm so sick of
this word. We've talked about that before. I think flagship is the wrong word because when I still think of like aircraft carriers, to me that, you know, is, I live in a Navy town. You know, flagship was like the ship to lead all the other ships, not just for 8, 10, 12 months, but for years. And, you know, that's not what these are. And never mind how stupid killer is. And that's been done. Look, I read David Ruddock's thing. I thought, you know, I don't disagree with anything he said. But if you're just finding out in 2015 that marketing is BS.
Not just in the phone space, but yeah, just in the world.
I don't know where you've been this whole time. That's nothing new there.
My BlackBerry Storm was iPhone killer.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's.
The screen clicked. I mean, come on, the iPhone can't do that.
Yeah, you know, enough of all that. Here's a good question. A lot of people ask about the Moto X. With all those antennas and the radio bands and stuff, do you see the Moto X style being Project Fi compatible in the near future? I mean, you can't just pop your Fi SIM out and have it work.
No,
right?
No.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, being able to physically have the bands to do it and being whitelisted for Project Fi inclusion are two way different things.
Let's just say nothing to say that Google might not open this up to other phones at some point. I mean, it's not going to just be the Nexus carrier forever, you would imagine. And the Moto X with all its
the Nexus 6 either.
Yeah, and the Moto X with all bands that it has is maybe a good candidate. It's not to say it'll definitely happen, but it's not impossible.
We're seeing more and more phones that cover all those different bands as well, you know, thankfully, which is good. But yeah, just because it has all those bands, doesn't mean that it's, you know, being slated as a next Project Fi device.
I would bet no, and here's why. That's a whole lot of onboarding software that's kind of against Motorola's ethos right now.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, it does. I mean, your Nexus 6 on Project Fi is running different software than a Nexus 6 that you got out of the box and put a T-Mobile SIM in.
Yeah.
And that's just part of the deal right now. We don't know until we know how they're going to handle Fi going forward.
One more, and then we're done. Again, we'll do voicemails next week. I promise we'll have time. Gerardo says, not a question. I love to hear you sweaty phone nerds fight about what kind of cable comes into the phone. Reminds me of my nerd fights over anything else that nerdy.
You know, it is kind of warm in Seattle. It's getting a little sweaty, so.
It was 98 in the shade when I got home from New York the other day. I'm just saying.
You live in Florida.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean it's not hot.
But I think Gerardo means sweaty in a different way that only Russ can understand. Maybe Alex.
but you
all go ahead and find ways to keep cool. That'll be fine.
All right, that was way too much fun, and I'm sorry we can't go another half hour, but we just can't. So we will pick it up again next week. You're just going to have to come back next week. As we are every week, we're brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Come, sorry, Sam.
Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. Peace. Absolutely not sorry. I apologize for nothing. Never settle. I'm just going to randomly slip. I love getting Alex. I need to turn the thing back on so everybody can see you guys. During the rest of the podcast, just go buy things. I'm not even gonna just do it. Thank you guys for a fun week. Yeah, it's been a busy, good, fun week. We got a lot of work coming up. We're gonna have a lot of Motorola stuff. We're gonna have a lot of OnePlus stuff. Jerry, we've got Axon phones. Actually, I've gotten to touch it finally. So we're gonna do a lot on that. What else do we have coming up?
I've got the little Asus ZenFone that I'm working something up. Maybe Monday, you all get to read it.
Excellent. All right, with that, again, voicemails next week. Everybody watching live, thank you guys. Thank you all for the Q&A. And we will see you next Friday.
Adios.
Bye.
See you later.
I'm not doing it.
Your mic is abnormally loud today, Phil.
Oh, is it?
It's yes. very loud.
Oh, well, I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Like overmodulated.
I liked it.
Well, Earl, I mean, you guys, Andrew, it's like you sound normal. All right, I gotta go. I'll be back in an hour and a half or so. Go. That outstanding episode of the Android Central podcast was brought to you by Canary. It's a new approach to home security. Canary sends alerts with HD video and audio straight to your phone so you can keep an eye on your kids and your pets when you're stuck at work. It is really cool, and check it out today at meetcanary.com/AC.